friends, welcome back to the Amber May Show. I am glad you are here today. Joining me is Jeremy Slater of Warrior MBS, and we are talking about globalism, transgenderism, communism, all the isms we're talking about today. It's going to be a power-packed show, so I hope you will stick around. Please like, share, and subscribe. That'd be so helpful if you can like, share, and subscribe all of this. Please join me at theambermayshow.com's website, and while you're there, consider becoming an angel investor. Donate $5, $10, $100, whatever you want to donate. That helps support the Amber May Show, or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber at theambermayshow.locals.com. Again, that just helps support the program. I add more information and more content on Telegram. Join our Telegram channel at The Amber May Show. Hey, can look in the links below in the description box, because if you're a business owner, there is some tax credit from the federal government with the CARES Act that you could get $26,000 per employee that you have. And the minimum requirement is 2 W-2 employees. So check that out. And while you're there, hey, check out some of our sponsors. Like if you want a weight loss coffee, that'll help you lose weight, give you mental clarity, and just help with overall health, then you're going to want to check out our link to cupahealth.com. Use promo code Amber May to save money, and the links are there below. Well, joining me, I cannot wait to get into the show. I think it's going to be great. I hope you really enjoy it. Joining me right now is Jeremy Slater. So excited. Like I told you earlier, I have Jeremy Slater with us, and this topic is a topic that's like something I've been wanting to dive into. So I'm really excited to have you. Welcome, Jeremy, to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Amber. And excited to talk about this.
Yeah. So what we're talking about today is transgenderism. So I want to know, like, what is the push? Like, what's behind this global gender transition phenomenon? Because I'm thinking part of it might be the depopulation agenda, but I don't know, could I be wrong on that? So I'd like to dive into on that. What's your thoughts?
Sure. Well, you're definitely not wrong on that. That's part of it. It's multiple levels. And let me provide a little bit of context here. I had no interest in exploring this issue. It wasn't on my radar. Other than the fact that it's kind of everywhere now. And if you have little kids, you got to pay attention, right? I mean, you walk through any bookstore, any children's bookstore, and from, you know, age one to age five, that area of the books, basically infants to age five, it's covered up with like political activism, BLM, LGBTQ. It's rather insane. So we have to pay attention to this issue. And I have a program that's meant for men, to help strengthen their minds, bodies, and souls. And in that, you kind of begin to research, like, okay, where are the attacks on men and masculinity coming from? And there's no doubt that all of the gender-bending proponents out there, including, you know, the transgender agenda, and I say agenda more so than actual people dealing with gender dysphoria, because those are two separate things for the most part. You know, they hate traditional masculinity more than anything else. So per that reason, I began to explore it. And based on your question, you know, where is this coming from? It seems global. You know, you're right. It's on multiple levels. The higher you go, okay, the deeper it gets in terms of if you're dealing with an activist on the streets that's just, you know, hardcore leftist, you know, Antifa person with blue hair, and they claim to be trans, or they're a big, you know, trans supporter. They don't even really, I mean, they just hate anything that seems traditional, and they want to help their person get in office so that they have their rights. I mean, they've been convinced that their rights are being stripped and they're marginalized, when actually they probably have more rights right now than anyone else. I mean, we saw in 2020, you know, if you were of a certain political persuasion, you could go out in the streets and burn down buildings and everything else. And even if you went to jail, celebrities would bail you out. So, you know, whereas January 6th, if you were just in the general vicinity Bank of America is handing over your records to the FBI. Mm-hmm. So it's two very different things. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? The like a judicial double standard. But anyhow, back to the point. So the low level people, it's just, hey, this is what I'm told to support. You go up the chain a little bit and politically, and it's, you know, okay, there, if you have a totalitarian takeover that you want to be a part of, all right, that you're in politics and you want to take over, let's call it that, you know, senator and congressperson level, you know, AOC, the squad, all that. They don't even understand the spiritual component, but politically, they know very well, from Karl Marx all the way to BLM, if we can disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure, which is exactly mm-hmm. how it was worded on the BLM website. Karl Marx talked about taking out the nuclear family, especially the head of the household, because traditional families and especially traditional men were the natural bulwark against those totalitarian takeovers. Mm-hmm. So if you take that out, it's much easier to centralize power and move forward with that totalitarian takeover all over again. But to do that is much easier without the men. Okay.
100%. So, it's funny that you say that, and not funny, but funny, because I started learning about this in college at Arizona State University. Most of my professors were very liberal minded, and I had to give them the answer they wanted, not the answer that I really believed was true, except I had a sociology professor. So I studied broadcasting and sociology. I felt like they went hand in hand. And this sociology professor was way different than any of my other professors. And I wish I knew his name. I really didn't, but I loved his class. Yeah. And he said, if you want to weaken your society, then take out the nuclear family, because if you have a strong nuclear family, then you're going to have a strong society. The second you destroy your nuclear family, you've destroyed society. And he said, it's easier for communism to take over. That's what he said.
Well, it's 100% true. I mean, if you look at what's the school in Germany, the Frankfurt School in Germany, the way they taught how to infiltrate the United States of America with communism, I believe it was Antonio Gramsci was like the main guy behind cultural Marxism, because they knew we can't take out the West. We cannot take out the U.S. with military force, because they're just too strong and their society is just too strong. The people are too strong. We have to do it like a disease, like a cancer. We have to infiltrate over time. And so they came up with four pillars that support the Western society. One of those was family. Another one was, we have to take over the schools. So like the professor that you lied, Amber May, when you wrote down the wrong thing, and that's where they got us. And I'm trying not to call you out too hard on that, because everybody did it. That's the thing. We all went to college and did that because we all had these leftist professors. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? They're like, okay, all these conservatives will pay us money to come to our school and help promote our beliefs even further, even though they don't believe what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And we've done that across the board. We buy our stuff on Amazon, where Jeff Bezos hates us. Right. Over and over and over again, we do it. And that is, I'm saying that to say, we have a need for a parallel economy, and mm-hmm. we have to support those people who are doing it. So the Mike Lindells of the world, the Truth Socials of the world, these different, groups and initiatives that are trying to create something outside of the communistic, totalitarian, you can only think this way, worldview, be it companies or be it big tech or whatever, we got to have those other channels. But to get back to what you said, yes, communism has a vested interest in getting rid of the nuclear family. But going back to that pyramid of power, so I was talking about the state and congressional level of our government. They see it as a political ploy, a Bernie Sanders style, like, yeah, let's get rid of that so we can institute communism in the United States. But you go above that to the UN or to the World Economic Forum or to the Rothschilds or people that are really pulling the levers of society, and you dig into what do they really believe? What are their beliefs? These people are not atheists. These people are very much New Agey Kabbalists. We're all about, they'll say, we're all about love and light, but their love and light is about a light bearer that they'll talk about. which is Lucifer. Lucifer translated is the light bearer. So whenever everything they say is a double meaning, and the deeper you go, the more you can see this clearly. And I hope I'm not losing your audience here, but it's very clear that they have a belief. And you know, you'd say, well, they don't worship Satan, but you look at like the people, you look at the people right now that they're putting in positions of power in Hollywood, and the way that those people, you know, Sam Smith, for instance,
right,
very transgender, very satanic. Why is that really what's appealing to the mass populace? Do we really see that as great art? No, we don't. We don't even want it. So you say, okay, are more people watching the Grammys maybe than there was in the 80s and 90s? No, it's fewer. So where are they getting their money? Where are they getting their motive to do this? It's from the top down. So if we really want to understand what's going on with this global transgender phenomenon, we have to look at who's at the top and what do they really believe. And I'm ready and willing to dig into that if you want to go there.
Oh, I totally want to go there, because I think this is a big topic that we need to discuss. And I'm so, when I saw that come through my email, because I've been wanting to interview you for a while, it was just like the perfect moment to have you on my show.
Yeah. I'm glad it happened. And I'll tell you, I have evolved a lot in this area, because back when you met me, it's in San Diego, this truly, I mean, I knew the transgender thing was a problem, but it was more one of those kind of like eye roll, you know, and it would make me mad when I know like they're after our kids, they're doing these surgeries, even at Vanderbilt here in the South. You know, they're doing these, what they call, and it's always a lie, gender affirming. We're going to affirm your, no, to affirm a gender is to help someone see what they really are. What God gave them, what every single chromosome in their body is crying out, saying, we are either, you know, double X or we're XY. That's it. That's it. Every single cell in these people's bodies is either male or female.
And God made all of us perfect. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake with you, Jeremy. He didn't make a mistake with me when he created me female. And I feel like, so I was down at the Arizona State Capitol last session, and I think I was there for just this bill particularly, and it had to do with allowing stopping minors from being able to have transition surgery. And the bill did go through, but I don't think it goes into effect till next year. I think that's what I understood. And I got the sense, like, I didn't know if it was really people that were trying to fight for their children or if they were paid actors, because they all said the exact same phrase. Every one of these parents that came up, and I want to try to believe that they were real parents instead of paid actors, but it was, this bill was like a 4 or 5 hour long session in committee. It wasn't supposed to be that long, but they had so many people request to speak to allow their children to have these gender surgeries. And I just happened to be at the Capitol, and I don't say that anymore because I know God wanted me there, but all of the parents said, if we don't get this surgery, my kid is going to commit suicide. My kid's going to commit suicide. Every single one of them said that. We had two men that came up that had the gender transition surgery. They transitioned back to being a male because them changing to be a female did not fix them at all. In fact, it made them infertile and made it hard for them to have a sexual relationship with their now current wife, because now there's complications to it. They have taken something that was functioning just fine, and they took it off, removed it, and now they had to go and try and put something back and reconstruct that. And so a couple of things going on. They were already depressed because a sexual assault that never got addressed. Now, I'm not saying everyone who goes into transgenderism had a sexual assault, but I believe that there's some deep hurt somewhere really deep inside that never got addressed by the therapist, because these men said, hey, I told my mom when the kid was 5, I told my mom I was sexually assaulted by my uncle. And then this other guy got sexually assaulted by his swim coach. And these men, one of the men went to therapy, and the therapist would never touch the sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And so this man thought the only way he's going to overcome this is by becoming a female. This other man saw a medical professional, a doctor, to address the brokenness inside of him. And this doctor said, and he was the first doctor to do these transition surgeries, he's like, you just need a sex change. He lost his wife, his children. He was an executive in Honda. He lost everything. It did not make him any happier.
100%. You know, all of these things are predicated on a lie, and I'm not trying to be coarse. And I know people, there are people with gender dysphoria who are uncomfortable in their own bodies. That being said, you can parallel this with what happened with COVID. What did all the experts say? Anthony Fauci and Tedros at the WHO, and Mark Zuckerberg was somehow an expert with what they, you know, and the FBI was colluding. They were all colluding to only let one message come out, and they were precluding and censoring every other voice that was also that would have been an expert, like a Robert Malone or a Dr. Mm-hmm. Peter McCullough, the most published cardiologist in the history of the United States. Mm-hmm. Somehow they were giving misinformation, but mm-hmm. this selected group of doctors were the ones that had all the info. And they said, oh, you know what? These mRNA vaccines, they will never cross your blood-brain barrier. They will never affect your DNA. They will never, you'll never get COVID if you take these shots. All of those things were being said, right? And one by one, over time, every single thing that they said is proving to be the opposite and proving correct. To be false. And as people are killing over and dying on football fields, soccer fields, baseball fields, we're told it's because of climate change or because we're eating too many eggs as egg factories are blowing up. And we're supposed to think that it's just all by accident. And Bill Gates is wanting us all to eat bugs. So all you've got to do is have a little bit of sense in your head and connect the dots. So let me parallel that with what's going on with this transgender thing. Yes, there are some paid actors involved, no doubt. But there's also the branch COVIDians. These would be the branch transgender Indian. You know, like I say branch COVIDians just because it's a cultish mindset they had about COVID. You have to wear your mask. You have to get the shot. You know, you don't care about humanity if you don't. That's what they're doing in this case. And everyone from Amazon to big tech to all of the experts, the counselors, the psychologists, the American Psychological Association, which is 100% communist, mm-hmm. all of them have banded together and they say, okay, here's our storyline. Here's the facts as we need the world to know them. And, you know, great people like Abigail Schreier, who have really, really done the homework on what is happening with these transgender, especially girls. She's done a lot of the look at girls. What is happening when they get the sex change, get the operation years later? And she saw how many were committing suicide, how many were incredibly unhappy, were detransitioning. And she's not writing it from a Christian perspective or anything. She's just saying, guys, here's the numbers and here's what's happening and here's why it's happening. And Amazon basically kicked her off. I think she may be back on now because of the backlash, but you've got these major, you know, it was a hit book because people want to know about this, but they're shoehorning in only a certain message and deleting and censoring everyone else that's off brand, off message. And the problem is, even as bad as COVID was, I can't make it worse because people are dying based on this censorship and, you know, the lack of our side of the experts getting to have their voice. But this is directly aimed at our kids. You can see it.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second. But right now, I'm going to take a quick break.
It's the year 2023, and the warrior women of God have been preparing for this day for generations. And have walked through deep valleys to be ready for such a time as this. The God of all gods, the King of the universe, chose them from birth. He destined their very DNA for such a time as this. No one could have known when these women were little girls, they would be called to battle on the front lines during a biblical war of good versus evil. Except God. He knew. For he has been preparing you for such a time as this. We have been called to intercede, pray, activate, and be the warrior bride that God made us to be. Is that you? Esther was called for such a time as this. She was chosen to go before the king, prepare his heart, and save her people. Join us at the first ever Esther's Rising event in Branson, Missouri. You will learn from extraordinary women who are fighting on the front lines of the battlefield. You will leave activated, prayed for, and given tools to step out and be the Esther you were created to be. Join us at the God and Country Theater in beautiful Branson, Missouri, March 4th 2023. Who knows if you haven't been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Register now for Esther's Rising at www.tanyajoy.tv/Esther. And join us in Branson, Missouri on March 4th, 2023 at the God and Country Theater.
All right, America, Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May Show. So stay tuned. Amber May.
Government-induced inflation, taxes, rising interest rates, all of these can have a dramatic effect on our investments. So why not buy some gold and silver? Gold and silver throughout history has been a stabilizer in people's portfolio. Protect your wealth, protect your assets by purchasing gold and silver. The easiest way to do that is contacting Jim, who you've seen on our program, Jim Tewalt, with EPS Wealth Management. That's Edward Paul Stamm. EPSWealthManagement.com. There you can go ahead and contact him and say, hey, I would love to get my hands on some gold and silver, especially with the electronic currency that is looming on our horizon. So if they go to a total digital currency, it might be wise to have some tangible assets in your portfolio for trading, because you never know when they might cut off your income stream. So go to EPS, Edward Paul Stamm, EPSWealthManagement.com. Ask for Jim Tewalt to make sure you have some gold and silver in your portfolio. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
You know, the way that it's infiltrated the schools and the education, that's what's got people like myself who have two little kids. I've got a six-year-old and a three-year-old. I care about this issue for that reason. I had to pull my kids from public school for that reason. So every parent should care whether you're in public or private school, because the private schools as well are subject to this stuff. And the UN and the World Economic Forum are banding together right now, wanting to codify their framework of LGBTQ, the way that you should think about this. They want to make it law in every country in the United States with pronouns and beyond.
Well, I don't know if you remember the story that came out about a girl that got raped in the girl's bathroom by a boy who said he was identifying as a female.
Loudoun County, Virginia, right?
I think so. Yeah. And then that dad tried to go to the school, and then he got arrested for defending his daughter from being that got raped. All it takes, honestly, is a little horny teenage boy to say, oh, I identify as a girl, and watch all the females dress out in PE, or, you know, be in there when they're going to the bathroom and they're the most vulnerable. They're the most vulnerable when they're changing up for PE or when they're going to the bathroom.
Yeah, we're in a sick society right now. And the reason they would go after the dad protecting his daughter, because she'd been raped by a boy who's claiming to be a girl, is because they will protect their religion at all costs.
Right.
It is a blind faith. So they can say, we're just trying to be compassionate. All no, they have a spiritual faith that they don't even know where it's coming from. And it is coming from the father of lies, Satan. Mm-hmm. And we can see that in spiritual imagery and idols that they have created and they promote, like the Baphomet, which has breasts and a penis. And by the way, in the official statue, what's standing on each side of the Baphomet statue? A little girl and a little boy, both looking at that statue in worship, because they are after the kids. And they know, and communists especially know this, you can't always win over the older crowd because they're too set in their ways. They're patriotic, whatever, but you can affect the children. So, I mean, truthfully, the founding fathers would be stacking bodies right now on both sides of the aisle. One, they would be doing it to the Democrats because they would say, you guys are evil and godless and you're trying to mutilate kids. We're taking you out. They do it to the Republicans because they'd say, you guys are spineless. We have to get rid of you. You shouldn't even be debating this.
Right. I agree. Well, one thing, the parents, like if they weren't paid actors, because it was just odd that they all said the same thing, like one after another, after another. If they weren't paid actors and they really had children that felt like they needed transition, what these parents aren't considering of what it's like to someday want to have children, and now that's been taken away from them? And who are those kids going to look towards that should have known better? They're going to blame their parents. Their parents should have known better. Now I can't have kids because I have destroyed my body that was totally functional.
Yep.
Now I can't have kids when I want to as an adult, and it's all your fault. And what is that going to do to the parent-child relationship? It's going to destroy families even more than it's destroying families now.
Yeah. So
and that's something people aren't thinking about.
Yeah. Well, and back to the original point of multiple levels. So you've destroyed a child, their future to procreate. That's the depopulation piece of this. Mm-hmm. You've confused society even more by having another transgender person out there that everybody's tiptoeing around and not knowing how to interact with. You have broken the family relationship now, because now they're pissed that they got the operation. Their parents let them do it. So yeah, mm-hmm. there's a fracturing of the nuclear family, which weakens society. There's a fracturing of society in general, because a lot of people like us, like, we want to have compassion, but we're also like sick of this being pushed and promoted on our own kids. So we kind of like, how do we deal with this? And then further, you've got another person that cannot have children. So it's a smaller population, and it meets most of the goals of what the UN and Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum say out loud. They want to reduce the population, and they always, when it comes to LGBTQ stuff, they always say, well, we want their rights, or we want them to have equity. And it's like, what kind of equity do they not have already at right. this point? In fact, I mean, if you come out as some kind of crazy version of LGBTQ and you really get flamboyant with it, I mean, you're out there, you'll probably get to go visit Biden in the White House and waste everybody's time for a couple hours. Probably. That sounds like equity to me.
But that's the thing. They're also confusing people with that term equity. It's not equality. It's equity. Kamala Harris said, you know what equity is? Equity is being equal right now. Well, I have a problem with that, because there's a lot of lazy people in this world that don't bust their butt.
Yeah. And
they don't try to get ahead. So why should they be at my level? Even if that's the way it's supposed to be, like, what the World Economic Forum wants is everyone to be poor on the same level. They yeah. don't want people to be rich on the same level. They don't want the middle class. That's the other thing that COVID did, was try to destroy the middle class, and they did it very well. They want everyone to be poor on the same level. So if let's say that we're going to just talk about middle class, that person who does not pull their own weight, they want to take from those that are, that's communism in itself, and that will fall apart. It doesn't work. You can't have equity. Everyone in equality has the chance to get ahead in life if they put the effort in.
100%.
Being able to all go to school, being able to open a business, not being forbidden because of a color of your skin. This is equality. Equality is so different than equity, but they take a word that sounds like equality, which is in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they turn it and they want it to mean something else, but they're not really out there telling us exactly what they mean, because it sounds really good. Oh, equity, that's equality. No, it's completely different than equality.
Yeah, well, and typically, I'm 100% in agreement. I chose to use the word equity because that's what they always use right. when talking about LGBTQ or any other kind of right. We need equity. Yeah, but if you're talking in terms of equality, equal access to opportunities, that works as well with my illustration, where if you come out as a very flamboyant version of, you know, some type of LGBTQ, you are, when it comes to equality, you probably have a much larger opportunity to go yes. visit the White House, or yes. get a job in higher education, or at, you know, as a government employee, or at a corporation, because the corporation is scared to death not to hire you.
That's exactly right. But look at our armed forces right now. The pictures of men in dresses in their military attire. These people are in charge of our military. They're men. Yeah. Dressed in the women's uniform. I mean,
yeah.
You go to any other country, okay, and you present a man like that, who is going to take him serious? What other man will take him serious that he can defend himself? What other man would do that?
Yeah.
One man coming up and another, and one guy looking like a man, acting like a man, and then another guy approaching him, that same military, you know, status in a dress.
Yeah.
You don't think that guy's going to think you're a fool and can take you down?
100%. Yeah, I've got a on my Rumble page at JSlay USA. I have a compilation. It's a video about the military and the push for LGBTQ in the military. And it's, I open it with a back-to-back comparison of a Russian, what do you call it when you're trying to get people to join the military? It's basically like marketing to get the young Russians to join. It's extremely masculine. It's almost like watching, you know, a Rambo preview versus the United States military and what we're doing right now. And it's like this girl that's got these transgender parents, and it's cartoony. And I put those back to back to open up that show. And to make the same points you're making, that yes, I mean, but other countries that actually want to win wars or want to be able to defend themselves, they would, that does not instill any fear in them whatsoever. In fact, it encourages them to dominate us. But that, again, is by design. Joe Biden and that administration, which are puppets now of globalists, they do want to see America fall in terms of, you know, they don't want us to be blown up in a nuclear war. But in order to achieve their version, again, of equity, that means equity of all other countries, with all other countries. And one of the goals of the World Economic Forum is by the year 2030, the United States will no longer be a superpower. Well, how do you do that? Well, you got to make us weak, including our military. So they're able right now to pull this off in the face of what I believe is the majority of American people that don't actually want it. And a lot of that is due to funding. I mean, that globalist money I'm talking about, those trillions and trillions of dollars they're able to pump in from the top down to get initiatives done when the American people are all saying, we don't want this.
Right. 100% agree with, but I want to go back to the Baphomet thing.
Yeah.
Do you have examples? Okay. So the biggest example that I saw about, you know, Satanism was definitely at the Grammys. I mean, there was no question about that. You had the transgender worshiping Satan, and the song was Unholy. I mean, that was just right in your face. But I think it's popping out more and more in pop culture. So do you have examples of what people can look out for as they're, you know, looking at TV or being in the media, like what they can look out for to protect their kids?
Well, you know, the stuff like Sam Smith and the Grammys, that's obvious. And yeah, when it's an obvious, like Lil Nas and his whole thing where he's basically giving Satan a lap dance, Demi Lovato and things she's doing, Madonna, you know, all of that. At this point, there was a time in American history, I think up through the early 2000s, where as Christians or as just, you know, values-based people, but I'm specifically speaking to Christians, we kind of did this. We knew, okay, these Hollywood types and the pop stars, they don't really share our values, but it's not that bad. It's not that overt. We can have fun. We like the beat. We like the movie, whatever. But then we would just try like not to know what they did on their own time, or that, you know, they were kind of against our values. But now you can't really do that. It's so overt. So I'm going to skip over telling people, oh, Christina Aguilera, watch out for her because she's wearing, you know, a penis like in her concerts. And, you know, what you have to look at is the more subversive types. Okay. And I'll give an example. So Common Core education, right?
Common Core.
It sort of failed in the United States. So Bill Gates is now saying, I'm going to pump in, he's right now doing this, $3.6 billion to go back in and fix American education, because Common Core didn't really succeed because the states pushed back and the states kicked it out. Do you, Amber May, know the background of Common Core, where that came from?
Yeah, it came from Bill Gates, didn't it? Because didn't he, on the guise of giving schools free computers, say, if I'm going to give you free computers, and maybe I'm totally wrong, you have to have this Common Core education or else I'm not going to give you the computers?
Sure. That's a more like recent development, but I'm talking about the roots of Common Core, where it came from.
I think there is a publishing company called Lucifer something or other. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah. Let me walk through the dots real quick. Cause again, people need to know, because the way things are presented, okay, Common Core, like early on, you don't really know what that word means. If something is coming from the federal government top down, again, your antennas need to go up. Okay. What are they trying to do to put into my schools, to put into my kids' lunches, like whatever? You have to look at these things. So yes, the Lucifer publishing company, was the brainchild of Alice Bailey. All right. Alice Bailey was the founder of that Lucifer Publishing Company, which quickly transitioned its name to the Lucius Trust, which has one of its spiritual meditation rooms right there at the United Nations headquarters plaza in New York. Okay. And they also have Lucius Trust's headquarters in Geneva, really close to Davos, and one other location. I can't think of the name. But Alice Bailey's books, when she talks about what was her inspiration, she would say, I would channel a spirit to write my books. And she clearly states in her writings that her ultimate God is Lucifer, the light bearer. So when you go to the Lucius Trust website and they say, let the plan of love and light play out. If you go to LuciusTrust.org or .com, you'll see that right up front. The plan of love and light. Where your average, you know, dumbo American at this point is going to think, oh, okay, that's, they probably give yoga classes or something. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all that is. You dig into what they really believe. It is a one world globalism, one world economy, one world religion. They call it love and light, and they believe that Lucifer came down to set us free. He's the great hero of humanity who unshackled us from the chains of the tyrant God. Whether he created us or not doesn't matter, but Lucifer was the one that set us free to be artists, to be thinkers, to be philosophers. And you look back through history and you think, okay, the greatest artists, the greatest philosophers, a lot of times that the world looked at, they were never typically Christians. And you look at the artists of our day that are promoted at the highest level, and what are they pushing now? It's pretty much like open, blatant Satanism, right? So behind that veil of love and light is a very ugly thing, because a light bearer, that doesn't mean that they're full of light. That means they're maybe holding it out front, bearing light, mm-hmm. but there's an ugliness behind it, and it is Satan. So let me tie that to Common Core. So the head of UNESCO, everybody's heard of UNESCO, right? Some like big philanthropist, global initiatives, global education. Robert Mueller was the head of UNESCO. He was the creator of it. He's got Robert Mueller schools all over the world. Robert Mueller came up with the Global World Core curriculum, World Core, okay? In the opening of that book, when you open page one, World Core curriculum, he says, I dedicate this entire book and all the contents within, not only dedicate, this material comes from the works and books of Alice A. Bailey of the Lucius Trust, who was channeling a spirit to, you know, do her work, and has headquarters at the UN and everything else. So Robert Mueller then, in America, we know that World Core curriculum as Common Core, which Bill Gates was all in on and promoting. So not just, hey, if you take my computers, you have to do this. He poured billions of dollars to make Common Core happen. An unelected computer guy, kind of like vaccines. Like, what's he doing with vaccine? What's right. he doing with education?
Right.
There is a spiritual connection to all of this. The Lucius Trust themselves. Now, they took this down, but if you use the internet time machine, you can find the Lucius Trust has called out. They said Bill Gates, Robert Mueller, Bono, like different people out there that everybody knows, are the they call them world custodians. And they're very appreciative. I've got all the background documentation. I've got screen captures where they appreciate the donations Bill Gates has given to them.
Do you have any like right now available? I should have prepped that ahead of time to share screen and show us.
Yes,
if not, yeah. It's not a deal.
I'll tell you what, can I send it in the chat?
Yeah.
I'll do that, but let me finish up with the dots here. So you've got Lucius Trust and Alice Bailey, a demonic organization working at the UN. You've got Robert Mueller, who developed the World Core curriculum and is the head of UNESCO, which I could go down a whole rabbit trail on UNESCO and what they're doing at all these these sites around the world right now. But Robert Mueller creates World Core curriculum that Bill Gates says, we're putting this everywhere. And he says this all comes from Alice Bailey, who's like, you know, channeling spirits. And then it fails in the United States because of the good people of the U.S. looked into it, probably not as deeply as I've done,
right.
but they said, this is not good education. We don't want this. We don't want this. So they push back and it fails pretty much everywhere. Bill Gates becomes angry that it fails. And now he says, okay, we're going to fix this. I'm putting $3.6 billion to correct what went wrong in American education by the year 2023. and we're there. So if you wonder, where is all this social justice stuff coming from, the LGBTQ indoctrination coming from, the white privilege training for the teachers? It is coming from this put, this globalist push to indoctrinate the world with their religion. And I'll add one last point. Why would Microsoft, a computer company, with one of their recent initiatives, I think this is in 2020, 2021, they hire Marina Abramović, the witch of the elites, to be the face of their art initiative for the globe. And again, due to backlash, they've kind of quieted that down. But Marina Abramović, even though she says, "I'm not a Satanist," when you are using, like, you know, blood and semen and all this crap on your, for your paintings, and you're doing those, what do they call those? Dinners? Yeah, the spirit cooking dinners, all of that.
So satanic. Oh my God.
They're doing all of that. Like, okay, so that's Bill Gates hiring.
And you forgot about Bill Gates being on Epstein Island.
I mean, 27 times, right?
Yeah.
So people can say, oh, that's conspiracy theory. No, this is just a simple conspiracy, a true conspiracy that you can prove if you're willing to just do a little bit of research. So, you know, if it sounds like I'm a little angry about it, I am, because this is not good for our world at all.
Well, Bill Gates is also involved in smart cities, and smart cities are being built all across the U.S. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but
I am. Yeah. Chattanooga is on their list in Tennessee. Chattanooga is one of the first ones they want to implement.
No, it's already here in Arizona. Bill Gates already bought the land. He's already starting to build the smart cities here in Arizona in Maricopa County. Maricopa is so famous for so many things. I would like there to be a famous win in Maricopa County. God is really using Arizona, really using Arizona. But yeah, I just saw an article not that long ago where Tennessee was involved, Cleveland, Ohio. There was a whole bunch of other cities that they're finally popping up with these smart cities. And who's behind it? China, the World Economic Forum. I know Bill Gates is personally involved in the one here. And so I have a pedophile control freak who's trying to indoctrinate all the children into the Satanism agenda. He's no good. And I want him out of my state. I want him out of the education system, because the smart cities, what people are not understanding is this phone right here got us used to accepting everything smart and tracked. You don't want this stuff in your home. You don't want the smart devices in your home. They can track you with this phone everywhere you go. They know everything you're saying. They hear everything you're doing. And then you have the Alexa and the Google thing in your home. Now they want to, I was at this education thing last week, and all the kids that came up were minorities. There wasn't one white kid that came up, and all the school districts are now partnering with, kind of like a trade type school, where they're getting educated into learning a really great trade to make a really good lifestyle living right out of high school. And I'm glad about that. The only thing is, out of all the students, all the schools, there was only one white child that came up to present. And I'm like, that's awfully racist in my opinion, because do my kids even matter? They don't know the color of their skin. I mean, God made them that way. Nobody else did. But one kid brought a smart home as his presentation, because in his class that he was taking that was helping him prepare with the trade school, it was a complete smart home. I'm like, they're already indoctrinating these kids to believe in the smart home. And these people think it's so great. Oh my God, I can lock my home with my car or my phone. I could do this with my phone. I could do that with my phone. Yeah. If you can do that with your phone, someone else can too. Yeah. And they're going to watch you everywhere you go with everything you do. And all of this is tying together for one big agenda.
No doubt. And to provide a quick solution, because, you know, people can get blackpilled, and I've brushed against getting blackpilled. You know, there's no way out and all that. One thing we can all do is all of us begin to speak our minds together and stop being afraid. So the old adage that you talked about earlier, and again, I'm picking on you, but I did it too. Is you know, hey, we're just going to mark the wrong box because that's what's acceptable and that'll get me the grade. That is furthering that agenda. It is. So when you're in the coffee shop and you're talking about these issues that kind of make you want to get quiet because it's not, you know, politically acceptable or politically correct, forget all that. Be yourself and speak out, because that gives other people around you permission to do the same. And yes, you may have, at this point, there is no way to correct our society without making sacrifices. And that is a message to the businessmen of America who are not brave like Mike Lindell, and they're wanting to protect. And well, I can't speak out because that could hurt my income, and I got to protect and provide for my family. Guess what, sir? If that's where you're going to stay at, you better believe that your family's going to be affected when you own nothing and you're told to be happy about it, because that's where it's going. Mm-hmm. People, and especially men, need to speak their mind out loud, not to be rude or abrasive, but to say, this is true. This is the natural order. And I'm not going to stand for it anymore, because they've taken it way too far 20 years ago. Now they're trying to mutilate children.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, because why do you think men have been silent for so long and have taken a back seat instead of taking the God-given role that he's made into men to be protectors and leaders?
That is one of the most important questions I can answer. Yeah, I think for decades now in America, we've been lulled to sleep by comfort and by climbing the corporate ladder. And the only kind of risk we began to know how to take was the one that was going to get us to the next rung on that ladder, or to provide more security for our family or a bigger income. So some of it was greed. Some of it was laziness and comfort, because we'd not really been challenged in a long time to have the courage of our convictions. So we implemented our bravery into, well, the brave thing to do is to fight to go higher within the company or to make more money. There's nothing wrong with that, with making more money, you know, as long as it's done in a moral way. But after decades of that, when all of a sudden the courage of your convictions means I've got to take a stand that's going to hurt those exact things. It could hurt my security. It could lessen my income. I could lose my job if I stand on real values. So they were able to, kind of stand by, like be shielded by their cut. Well, you know, I've got to do what I've got to do for my job. I've got to take the jab for my job. Once they've done that, to get up on, you know, a Clay Clark stage or something like that, you're just not going to do it. In fact, you're not going to want to know. You don't want to know the truth any longer, because you've made a decision. You've walked in a direction. So it's easier to say, hey, I just trusted the experts. Look at what all the experts say. And everybody from celebrities to Anthony Fauci to the WHO will gather in line to applaud you for saying that, and make you feel like you did the brave thing to help humanity. Now, I'm just talking in terms of the vaccines, but in terms of any of these issues, they don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart, because what they've been historically told is the right thing to do: make more money and provide for your family. Now, those very things are in jeopardy for them to take a stand. Mm. So I think that is a big, big part of the issue. And it is not justification whatsoever. These men, for the most part at this point, after 2 or 3 years of being in this new world, they're cowards now if they're still there.
You know, the phrase that has come up that I've heard is social emotional learning. You hear the CRT and then you hear the social emotional learning. So phrases we've heard is equity, CRT, social emotional learning. It sounds great, right? Social emotional learning. That sounds wonderful. Why wouldn't we want to teach our kids that? Can you tell us?
Well, if you can even define what it means.
Yeah, right.
What does it mean to emotionally learn about math?
I hate it. I don't know. Like, don't give me any more math.
Yeah. Well, what it means to them, let's take that. It means we're going to put emotional word problems on the math test that have to do with social justice initiatives as they see social justice. So based around their definition of equity, which, as you said earlier, is not equity at all. It's making sure that everybody, I mean, they would never say this, but right, make everybody poor so that the very few on top can divvy out what people need to live. Right. That's ultimately where it's headed, whether they even believe it or not. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Because there's no, if you look at any communist country, any of them, are the people wealthy or are they poor? Is there a middle class? I mean, the majority of people in the communist nations are poor. People talk about Venezuela all the time, how it once was this rich country. And then they took the elections and they have ushered in communism, destroyed Venezuela.
Well, you know, but you got to give them, there's some very wealthy people in Venezuela and in Cuba and in China.
Sure.
And they're the ones that are in control.
Right.
So there are some wealthy people. It's just a very small number. And they have already said, okay, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You know, the people are obviously not happy, But that is the mentality. It's this communistic, fascistic, which if you climb the ladder of both of those things, they become really the same thing. Mm-hmm. A very, very small group of people, the elites in charge, making the decisions for everyone else who are in poverty. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want.
That's what they want. And so I don't know why all of a sudden people are getting that. Well, I guess since we've been talking about, yeah, we do know the answer because of indoctrination. Our young people now think that communism is better than capitalism because they're not being told the whole truth about communism. They're not being told that you have no freedoms in communism.
That goes back to the emotional part of social emotional alert. They can sell it when they start talking about, you know, well, why is, you know, raise your hand if you're in the Black community in this classroom, and the Black kids raise your hand. Well, how does it feel to know that, you know, most of the white kids in the class, they live on that side of the tracks and they've got a little more money. And so they generate this anger on the one side, and on the other side, when, how do you feel knowing that you got more Christmas presents than the, you know, the people of color in the classroom? And, you know, they generate these emotions in these kids to indoctrinate them into a system that ultimately is far worse than the one that they have. While at the same time, somebody like Ben Carson, the doctor, the famous doctor, who
ran for president,
but more famously, he was the first doctor to ever separate Siamese twins that were conjoined at the brain. He separated them and they lived. It's back in the 80s. And then he created the way that people can do that and live, you know, separating bodies that are connected at the brain. So he's an amazing, amazing man. Well, you know, rightly so. The neighborhood he grew up in the poor area of Detroit, it was Ben Carson Middle School or Ben Carson High School. When he supported Donald Trump, the local Democrats in that district, they took his name off the school. Yes. And this is a man who does real philanthropy. He provides reading rooms around the United States for kids to actually learn real education, because he credits his own mother for his success. He said, she always made me read every day. I had to learn things about our world. So he thought, and rightly so, reading is a big deal. So they want to remove those stories of actual success out of poverty, the ability to change classes from extreme poverty to great wealth by providing unbelievable solutions like separating kids joined at the brain, right? I mean, So don't tell that story. And instead, let's talk about how unfair it feels if you're Black or white, and create this division so that you'll fall into our communism where no Ben Carsons are ever going to be possible again.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing with that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal, and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you wanna lose weight and you wanna have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at timelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com, promo code Amber May, and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And then look at what's been on TikTok and Twitter and fights with kids in school, beating each other up in school. I 100% agree it should be merit-based. Even when you apply for a job, it should be merit-based. Who's the best one for that position? Yeah. Who had the best experience to be able to do that job? It should be about your merit. It shouldn't be about what color you are, what minority you are. It should be about, if I'm going to put my best foot forward, and if I don't make it, I don't make it, but at least I tried my best to make it in whatever situation it is.
100%. Well, that's why we're seeing the breakdown of a lot of the medical establishment. And we're going to see this more and more, where as they lower standards, because they really are trying to lower. I mean, right now, you know, Harvard and all these big colleges, they're saying we're lowering our standards in order to take in more people of color, LGBTQ, and all of these, you know, different minority groups. And at the end of the day, like they're lowering their standards, which lives could be at stake when you're talking about doctors, pilots,
sure,
engineers. But they don't care at this point. You know, we're to the elites that are doing that stuff. I mean, Harvard, for instance, the same college, they gave like an entire wing and a special professorship to Jeffrey Epstein. So like,
oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Yes, I did.
Yeah, so you got to remember, like, I don't respect these institutions anymore. You know, not to say that it's not of value if you get a degree from a formerly respected institution, mm-hmm, but I don't look at the letters behind someone's name anymore, mm-hmm, to find out if they're qualified, because what it tells me first is they're probably indoctrinated.
You know, if more young people, and maybe things are turning with Turning Point USA, I don't know. But maybe if more people start in, like, going forward now in the future back and say, no, I'm not going to give you that grade. That isn't, or that answer, it is not the correct answer. This is the correct answer.
Yeah.
And start pushing back. But you're right. It did take from the student's perspective. It should have been from the students to start pushing back to their college professor and not keep going with the, well, I know this isn't the right answer, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. So when
the same thing people did with the jab, mm-hmm, they're like, okay, I know I probably shouldn't take this and that it's worthless. And I, you know, they knew, a lot of people knew, but they're like, I've got to do it to keep my job. Mm-hmm. And what did that do? It lended power and credibility to the, mm-hmm, system that we really need to dismantle. So yeah, we have to get away from that mentality of let's go along to get along, because that's actually what they need to succeed in this great reset. You know, I do want to drive it home with some solutions. Because I am in this fight for the Great Awakening. That's what I want. And I think education is a big part of it. We've got to get our friends who are in the middle, if they can be woken up, to wake them up. And I do think as more bad things happen, more deaths from the shots, seeing the fruit of the SEL and the critical race theory in schools over time, seeing the fruit of the transgender indoctrination and these kids that go trans and then they come out later saying like, this was a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. That does wake people up, because people still have a heart. Most people, they still have a heart. And for them to walk away from that is a very, very cold thing.
So what are some suggestions to being prepared for things for the men? Like, do you have any suggestions for them?
Yeah, I've got, you know, one just quick one is stop investing your big money with major companies like BlackRock that are out to take down everything that you hold dear. And there's a great company out there called Strive. I think they're out of Texas, but they are doing sort of what they're an investment-based company. They help you invest your money in companies that are pro-freedom. They're not political. It's all about excellence. The whole thing on their website, on Strive's website, is we are all about investing our clients' money in companies that are about excellence, not about politics. So it's kind of the opposite of the whole ESG score thing.
Right.
Another thing you can do, like I mentioned, mind, body, and soul, is check out my website at warriormbs.com/Amber for 50% off. And that's what we do. We get men back in shape. We get men mentally clear. better sleep patterns, the whole bit. And then it's all Christian men as well. So if you're a Christian man and you want to join, you're going to be around a community of like-minded brothers that are in this with you. And we all level up over that 70-day process. And I customize all these workouts for each man in the program. So it fits anybody's fitness level. They're all body weight based. I do have some things that use bands or dumbbells if you have those, but you can do it with no weights, no gym membership, and a hotel parking lot. It doesn't matter.
Tackling the globalism agenda that they have. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Coming on. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's a lot out there, and I hope to have you on my show sometime, Amber.
I'd be fun.
All right. Thank you.